And so this morning, we want to talk about the liberating effects of the gospel. And it is customary that we would stand as we read the word of God. It's going to be found in the second chapter of Galatians, starting at verse 1 and ending at verse 10. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 10. And it reads as such. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when we saw that they had even entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel of the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for this apostolic ministry to the circumcised works also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do, the very words of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity, this task at hand, to deliver this word of God. God, that you may be glorified through it and that your children may be edified. But also that someone that has not heard the gospel nor experienced the liberating effects of the gospel, oh God, will take by faith and believe that this gospel is something that you will stand for. I pray that you will be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. The liberating effects of the gospel. So the question I asked earlier, since you have been saved, how would you explain the liberating effects that you yourself have experienced through the gospel? If it's anything like myself, for many years of my first time, years of salvation, I can say that the liberating effects of the gospel were not as prevalent as they are now. That is because there's oftentimes when we get saved under certain various ministries. And some ministries may give you some what we call dogma, or give you their opinion as to how you should act and what would be the requirements in that salvation. It's not to the point to where you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but yet you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But the grace part is it's a gray area, as some people would say. They would say that, no, there's some things you must do and continue to do in order to maintain your salvation. I thank God that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so I don't have to worry about any longer about criteria that are not biblical to maintain the salvation that I cannot do. And I stress cannot. I cannot maintain salvation on my own. Only through the Holy Spirit I'm sealed with the promise. I'm sealed with God. And so God wants us to have liberties within our salvation. And so my key truth is this. The gospel of grace, when embraced, can free Christians from many years of legalistic strongholds. Now, as I'm here talking and at the sound of my voice, I'm sure you're hearing me or seeing me on Facebook and on Twitter and some on Vimeo, you're probably saying to yourselves, well, the legalistic strongholds that I've endured, I must do a check and see, am I free from those things? Do I hold myself continuously to those things that can hinder the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus? Hopefully we can answer those questions for you on today. Because when you freely embrace the gospel, there is a liberating effect. There is something about knowing who you are and whose you are and carrying out your life in spite of what others may say, in spite of how others may feel. But you know it is Jesus Christ who saved you and not you yourself. And Jesus Christ does not require some things. There's some things he does require, but legalistic things Jesus does not require for salvation. Amen to that. And so we're going to talk about Paul and how he spoke to the church at Galatia and how he was talking about a conversation, a meeting that he had with the Jewish council. But he's telling them in Galatian how it went. And he's saying that in order to experience liberating effects of the gospel, sometimes, the point number one is, you're going to be confronting the enemies of grace. Sometimes the enemies of grace will try to come either dilute the gospel or pollute the gospel in order that they themselves may be able to push their agenda ahead of the gospel. Now, the last time I checked, the only one who died for my sins and rose again was Jesus Christ. And because it was Jesus Christ, then he is the only one I'm going to govern myself to as it relates to what he wants me to do after I get saved. If he tells me to jump through some hoops, I'm going to jump through some hoops. If he tells me, son, you don't have to jump through some hoops because the only hoop that was jumped through was my sacrifice on the cross, that will suffice for me. And I'm not to go and try and tell someone else that they have to go and do something special in order to receive the gospel of grace that's found only by faith in Jesus Christ. I just love when I say that. I love when I hear that. The gospel of faith, the gospel of grace in the faith of Jesus Christ, because I love them so much. So when you're confronting these enemies will come in and they will set up shop and they will act like they're all good and your buddies, and then they go behind your back and they try and to dissuade other people. Because not everybody, let's face it, is strong enough to endure and understand what the gospel of grace is all about. Letter A says that not everyone teaches a liberating gospel. As I look in Acts chapter 15, I'm going to start actually at verse 5 instead of verse 6. This is some of the backdrop that Paul was laying forward to the Galatians. He says, but some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them to order to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there, they had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days of God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of God, of the gospel and believe. And God knows the heart bears witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. That is a powerful proclamation. That is a powerful statement that we will have to go through the same salvation experience as the Gentiles will have to go through. In other words, we cannot carry the favor. We cannot carry the being chosen as Jews into salvation as saying that's all we need. No, we need to go by faith and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. It's not an automatic thing. It's something that every one of us, and I'm sure many people believe in some church, not just Nutsy churches, but a lot of people tend to believe that if my grandmama was saved, then I was saved. Oh, you ask someone, well, how long have you been saved? They would respond, well, I've been going to church all my life. You ask them, well, when did you get baptized? Well, I got baptized when I was 5 years old. Well, when did you start living for God? I'm 35 now, 40. Let's see, about 2 years ago. So we need to go back to 2 years, and those other in-between years, you weren't really walking with God. Because now you're saying, I accepted Jesus into my heart. Jesus Christ, unfortunately, he is the subject matter that many people take lightly. And Jesus Christ is the one subject matter none of us can afford to take lightly. We cannot afford to allow ourselves to be caught up in a way to where, in this case, not everyone teaches a liberating gospel. And that's unfortunate. People teach a gospel with a variation of a cultural vantage point. And unfortunately, the gospel has to be taught for what it is. It's there. It's in our face. But when we see how these who were teaching a different type of gospel, they were saying that you had to be a Jew first in order to be a Christian. And that's not the case at all. Everyone has to be a sinner first in order to be a Christian. And the last time I checked, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if you're a sinner out there and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, you are a prime candidate, according to the gospel that I preach, to be saved, to be called in the family of God. And that is good news. That is some of the best news you will ever hear. And it's the best news you would ever respond to by faith. Amen? And letter B says that sometimes speaking the truth is better than seeking peace. Now, we understand that it's good for us to dwell together in unity and in fellowship with one another, is to be at peace with one another. But in this case, when it comes to the gospel, there has to sometimes be, as Pastor would say, some tough conversations, but yet in love. But we have to speak the truth. We have to understand that, yes, because if our church was just a peaceful church, but there was no truth going forward in our church, we would have a problem. And the problem is we would have parishioners, we would have visitors who are not being indoctrinated with the true word of God. And therefore, we can find ourselves being misaligned with the gospel. And the gospel is something we have to align ourselves with, because the truth in itself speaks volumes. That when the truth goes forward, peace should follow that truth. But we have to say, if we got to choose, we're going to have to choose truth over peace, because we have to tell was true. And so Paul is telling the Galatian church, I went there to speak the truth. And then point number two says, God frees us from outside intimidation. Do you know that intimidating folks are lurking around? They said that they're wolves in sheep clothing. They're lurking around. They seem as though they're okay. They seem like they're the brethren or the sisters of the church. They smile in your face, But yet, at the end of the day, they're looking to nitpick. They're looking to put aside. They're looking to do some things that will throw us off. And so those outside intimidators are something that we need to focus on. We need to be diligent, and we need to really pay attention to. And Paul is telling us that these outsiders who would come in and try and to detract and take away from that liberty that we have in the gospel, we have to be mindful of. Because in this Jewish council that Paul was talking about, they had some heavy hitters there. They had James there, Peter was there, John Mark was there, and some other elders and leaders. They also had what they call the Judaizers. They had some folks who were acting like they were all good, but they weren't all good. And so that's a heavy-hitting team that Paul had to go down there, and he had to go and talk to. And he says that when he went down there, he stated that, he said, I went up because of a revelation and set before us. He said he set before them, though privately, before those who seem influential, that the gospel I proclaim among the Gentiles. He's saying, I went up because of revelation. I didn't go up because they called me. I went up because God sent me. God knew that I would have to address this. So God says, I'm going to send you down there, and I want you to meet with them privately first. I don't want you to have this public gathering right now. I want you to get those the cream at the crop, the cream of the top ones. I want you to go and talk to them, and I want you to tell them, explain to them about the gospel that you're preaching. You're not preaching a gospel that we in heaven don't approve of. In fact, we strongly endorse the gospel that you're preaching of, because you're not putting a criteria on that gospel. And so he went there, and he spoke so well, and that Peter had to stand up and say, oh yeah, I remember God sending me to the Gentiles. I remember doing what Paul is doing. And also I remember that God told me that I would actually be going to the Jews, to the circumcised, and then now Paul is going to go to the uncircumcised, and but yet they're going to work things out. Amen? And so speaking this truth is better, right? And then we said the gospel frees us from outside intimidation. And so when those come from the outside, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you to deal with those on the outside, give you what to say, give you how to say it, give you the love to convey it, and that will suffice. Amen? And because the letter A says, armed with the truth protects us from detractors. There's nothing like having the truth on your side. There's nothing like knowing that Jesus Christ has deposited into you the truth of the living word of God. And when you have the truth, that means two things. That means you are going from what's in the word of God, and you're leaving yourself personally out of it. In other words, you're not doing any type of presupposing. You're not doing any type of eisegeting, meaning you're trying to put in what's not there. No, you are dealing with the true word of God. And the gospel says absolutely nothing about what you have to do as far as circumcising yourself in order to be saved. Has nothing to do with keeping the laws of Moses in order to be saved. But yet he does come back and says this, we're to love our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and the others like yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you can do those two things, you have done some serious fulfilling, because if you love God with your total being and you love your neighbor as you love yourself, then there's a very high chance that you would not be messing up. There's a very high chance you would not covet anything. There's a high chance you wouldn't be lying, you wouldn't be stealing, you wouldn't be cheating. And so that truth we have inside of us, we take with us wherever we go. Also, letter B says, the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ is worth preserving. In verse 5, he says, to them, we did not even yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. That is great news as well. It is very worth it to preserve the truth in the Word of God, because we living in a time now to where it has become more and more evident, unfortunately, that the true Word of God is not being preserved from the mouths of believers, starting from the pulpit on down. That is why you have so many denominations. That's why each denomination has certain requirements that you must do within their denomination. But the true Word of God needs to be preserved. So everyone who's out there and you have been taught the true Word of God, you now have a responsibility to preserve that truth. You preserve it in your living and you preserve it in your speaking. Amen. So the gospel, the most important thing we've been given, we must preserve it. Number three says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is immutable. There's nothing changing in the gospel. There's nothing I can add to it. There's nothing I can take away. The only way I can do that is if I was the one who was on the cross, and that sure didn't happen. I won't go on the cross for myself, let alone for anybody else. So that takes me out of the equation. And that's where we all need to be, out of the equation. The truth, Word of God, is immutable. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to tailor it. It is what it is. I'm not going to add anything to it. Verses 6 and 8 said, and from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. To those I say who seem influential, added nothing to me. So Paul is saying, I understand the word of truth to the extent to where it doesn't matter how high esteemed a person is. It doesn't matter how educated a person may be. But because I have the word of truth in me, yes, I respect you, but I'm not going to be intimidated by you. I'm not going to be shaking in my boots. I'm going to tell you about the immutable word of God, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you flat-footed. I'm not going to shake. I'm not going to move on. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm going to tell you what it is. And letter A says, one gospel with different ministries to share it. Just only one gospel. But there's many different ministries to share it. Jesus Christ made us ambassadors. We are ambassadors to Christ. Last time I checked, every ambassador who goes out from the United States and go into our embassies across the nation, every one of them are going into a new nation. And each new nation has a different culture, a different protocol, but every ambassador has the same directive. It came from the President of the United States. They were told what he expects of them, and they're to carry out what he expects from them no matter where they went out. And we are the exact same way as Christians. God is our only one who's sending us out. He says, Jesus, send them here, send them there, send them there, send them there. We're going out with the same message. Now, how you convey that message, it may be different because of one thing. It could be different. It definitely would be different for one reason, is the language. The languages are different, but the message is the same. And you will embrace people based on their culture or their ethnicities. So if you embrace them with their ethnicities in mind, if you embrace them with their language in mind, yes, those are different ministries and different variations of vantage points in order to deal and spread the gospel, but yet that gospel doesn't change. It's unfortunate that it's like when we say in school, if you tell a person one story, by the time it gets to the back of the class in the school, the story has changed dramatically. Unfortunately, saints, we don't have that luxury when it comes to the gospel. We have to get it right. We have to have it so down in our spirit to where when we share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we do not tell anyone other than what Christ told us to say. And so we need to make sure that we don't deviate from that whatsoever. Also, letter B says, the gospel of grace will free everyone who believes. Do you know that out there this morning? That the gospel of grace will free anyone who believes. You don't have to be held. You don't have to be shackled. You don't have to be bound any longer. The gospel of grace will do just what it's supposed to do. It says in verse 8, it says, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. What he's saying is that one side, we have a people who are circumcised. They belong to the Jewish faith or the Jewish people. Here we have Gentiles who are not part of the Jewish people, but yet that one gospel is intended for the unification and the edification of both sides. Yes, I'm going to meet each one where they are, but I'm not going to require anything of them that is not required of them. I'm going to go straight and do what I'm supposed to do. Why? Because the gospel of grace can free anyone. It freed you, didn't it? It freed me. It can, no matter where we are in this world, no matter where we are in this country, no matter where we are in this state, if you want to be set free, the gospel of Jesus Christ will set you free. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but you got to want to be free. You don't want to be like those enemies who come in, hear a message, only for the purpose of wanting to hijack that message, only for the purpose of wanting to have people follow after your likeness and your kindness, because that is not what God is calling for on this day. He wants his children to seriously and diligently carry out what he called us to do. The question is, are you up to the task? Are you up to it? Is that something you say, God, I know that you're calling me to salvation, and I'm answering the call, and I'm going to do what you told me to do? Or are you going to be the one that says, you know what, I think I like those church gathering folks. I think I can find a way to go inside and manipulate them and do what I want them to do. And God doesn't stand for that at all. And that's why we, who are armed with the truth, have to do and defend what's right. Amen? Letter C says, the gospel gives us the liberty to minister to all ethnicities. That, unless you have done that, that is an exhilarating experience to be able to go outside of your ethnic rim and go into another ethnic rim. Understanding some particulars within those ethnicities that you're in, and to be able to have a gateway to be able to share the good news. Nothing brings me more joy than to be able to go into the Spanish-speaking realm and to be able to witness about my Lord and Savior in a whole different ethnic setting with language being included. There's nothing like that to be able to do so. But also, we can do that even without speaking another language. Go outside of your, whoever you are in your ethnicities, and speak to someone who does not look like you and share the good news with them and see what God will do through you and to them and see how God will transform and touch their lives. Many of us, because we live in this area called the Inland Empire, we have just that. We have a multifaceted of neighbors who we live around, and some of them may not even like us. Some of us may even look at us, and especially with the climate we're living in now, Can you imagine being able to go in the climate we live in now and to reach out and touch someone who doesn't look like you and who's taking a different stance than you have taken, but allow the Holy Spirit to bridge you with that person, cause a bonding effect to take place, and be able to lead that person to the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, I think today they call that a miracle. But God is a miracle worker, amen? If you want to experience a tangible experience from God on a miraculous basis, do just that. Go to someone who does not look like you and probably don't like you because of the way you look, and watch God do what God only God can do. That's what's so good about this gospel that we believe and what we teach. Amen? So Paul, he's setting this record straight. He's setting it forward. He says, hey, listen now. This is just not for me. This is just not for them. This is for everybody who would believe, not just one particular group of people. And I love how he talked about he brought Titus with him when he went to the Jewish council. He brought Titus with him, but he brought him for a reason. He brought him and said, hey, because he said, listen, Titus is a Christian brother. But Titus is not Jewish, and Titus is not circumcised. And the council who were there, they says, you know what? We cannot, there's nothing about Titus that we can say that will degrade or downgrade who he is in God. We believe he's saved. We believe he has the Holy Spirit inside of him. And he's not even circumcised. Now, that is something that we can look, say, you know what? Okay. And that's one of the reasons why they say, you know what? We believe what you're saying, because we can't deny that, brother. Not at all. But if they want to trip Paul up, they could have said, hey, what about Timothy? What about him? He got circumcised. We got you. No. Yes, Timothy got circumcised. But Timothy was half Jewish. And because of that, Timothy wanted to embrace his Judaism. And he had every right to embrace his Judaism. That's what's so good about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a Jew, you can embrace your Judaism. But your Judaism is not a criteria for Christianity. And so Timothy, when he got circumcised, it wasn't to be a Jew, to be a Christian. It was because he was embracing his Judaism. He understood that he had to come by faith to Jesus Christ to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He understood that that's what was going to take for him to become a born-again believer. And so when we see how that plays out, we understand and we allow ourselves to govern ourselves accordingly. You can't make it no clearer than that, Paul, when they showed that. Also, letter C says, society could benefit greatly from a unified gospel. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly, that society can benefit greatly. Can you imagine what society would look like if the church was presented a unified gospel? In verse 9 and 10, it says, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And then it says, only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. How greatly can our society benefit when we understand whose gospel it is and what our responsibility is to guard it and to spread it? Jesus wants us all to get to a place in our walk and in our ministry to where we are presenting, I'm talking collectively, a unified gospel. We see a unification here taking place between Paul, Barnabas, Titus was included with them, James, Cephas, which is Peter, and then Mark. We find all these folks that are here who are coming together for the sake of the gospel and saying, I understand. Yes, I may have a ministry to this side of town, and you may have a ministry to that side of town. But together, collectively, we are preaching the same gospel, the same good news. Also, letter A says, pleasing Jesus should be our motivation for ministry. What is your motivation? When you think about ministry, when you think about the good word, when you think about spreading the good word, what is your motive for doing so? Do you love Jesus so much that nothing can keep you shut up? Or do you strive to seek for an opportunity to go out and deceive? Many of us, unfortunately, who were deceivers before we came to Christ, we remain deceivers when we entered into the church. I'm talking building. I'm not talking body. We're mingling with those who are sincerely looking to serve and worship the true living God. But not everybody are like that. Not everybody have that as their agenda. That's what Paul was addressing. That's what I'm attempting to address even today in this message. We have to make sure that our hearts are right and that our intention is to please Jesus Christ when it comes to serving. We don't want to be found in ministry with a half heart. We don't want to be found in ministry with ulterior motives. We want to serve Jesus because we love him. We love him so much, I'm free to serve him wholeheartedly. I'm free to give to him wholeheartedly. Nothing bounds me to a, what I love about being free in the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing bounds me to Malachi. Nothing bounds me to give 10% to the kingdom of God. I'm free to give 10, 15, 20, 30, 100%. I'm free to give it all, whether it be my time, talents, or treasures, because I know who God is. And just as Paul, he had his motivation because he had an encounter with Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, nothing is the same. Nothing is like it was yesterday. I like how the Marine Corps say and the Navy say, they say the only good day was yesterday. But in Jesus Christ, when you come to him, nothing is the same as it was. Because now you understand that for all your time, you have been bound by some things that will keep you from living, keep you from doing. And now those shackles are coming off, and you have now been set free to be able to live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Letter B says, a unified body reinforces the evangelical mission. When the body is unified, there's a reinforcement that takes place. Just as when I watch all my World War II movies, and I love those movies, and you get a chance to see how the Navy would go out on the seas. The Air Force would go out in the air. And somehow between the air and the sea, the Marines and the Army seem to be able to drop right on in where they need to be. And only when those reinforcements arrive do they really get a chance to do what they were sent there to do. One sector may go to hold a certain sector or to have a certain objective, but the fullness of that assignment comes into fruition when the whole unified forces are there. And that's why the world respects our military so much, because they know our military is united in all four sectors. Actually, we have a fifth sector, which is called the Coast Guard. But the ones that would go out, folks say, you know what? Those guys are unified. They're not talking differently. They understand what they're doing. They understand why they're there. We as Christians, we need that same unification, because it'll reinforce what we're doing. It reinforces why we're doing it. And we have a reinforced effect where society will be beneficial, because we have been unified in our evangelical mission. I'm not out there talking about some other vantage points. You're not talking about other vantage points. We're talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we're talking about there's no extra works that you need to do in order to be saved. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't be it by yourself, because if you were saved on your own, you would boast all day long about what you've done. And that's why when Pastor said on last week, many times a person would say, well, I will get saved when I get myself together. Well, you may get yourself together, but you'll never get yourself together for salvation. You may get yourself together in this world, but all that work you spent getting yourself together in this world, it's all for naught, because the only one, like I said before, who's qualified for salvation is the sinner who recognizes he is a sinner and he seeks Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Also, letter C says, the poor can greatly benefit from a unified gospel. Verse 10, it says, only, he said, the Jewish council, when they extended their right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, and then they said that we should go to the Gentiles and then they would go to the circumcised. Verse 10, he says, this is what they said, only they ask us to remember the poor. And then he says, that's the very thing I was eager to do. He says, you really haven't told me anything here, because this is what I'm eager to do anyway, is to go and to minister to the poor. It was nothing like serving the poor. In this case, Paul was a fundraiser. Paul would go out and gather up funds and take it back to Jerusalem, and so to make sure that those who didn't have anything will have anything, will have some things rather. Wouldn't that be nice if we, as individuals within our local body, will say, you know what? I want to support our church so much because our church remembers the poor. Our church remembers to do the things that God has called us to do. And I want to give whatever I have, whatever I can do, to be able to take part in the ministry of giving. Because I want to make that on the top priority of my living, is to remember those who don't have what I have. And there's two types of poor people that we want to keep in mind. Those that are monetarily or physically poor, but those that are spiritually poor. We would, both of them, because both have the same objective, because the gospel cannot go forward unless we recognize those two areas and minister in those two areas. And that's every one of us on a unified force who would go and do such a thing. Now you're probably asking yourself, well, what do I need to do now? What do I need to do that I've heard about the liberating effects of the gospel? Well, I'm glad you asked. So now we want to be able to take it beyond the walls. In other words, we want to practice this week walking in the grace of God, in the grace of Jesus Christ. We want to exercise your liberating knowledge of the gospel of grace by faith in Jesus Christ, and to share him with someone that you may encounter. Those are the objectives that we want to be able to do. We want to practice that, because if I practice my freedom by walking in my freedom, then it won't shackle me or hold me back or pull me back. And because I am free, now I'm more conscientious of someone who I encounter to be able to share Jesus Christ with.